What does it mean?
The kingdom of God means to me is time. It's time that I can spend with the one who truly loves me.
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
To me it means I get to go home and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Not be on the same throne with him, mind you. I just get to be with him, which is going to be an honor and a privilege. I'm going to be married to my husband, my real husband, for eternity.
Let's put it in a different perspective. This is the second day of Sukkot. And the beginning of the very first day, it was a talk about the kingdom of God. Remember that? The 11-page article, or 12-page article? Remember that one? If you don't remember it, you've got a hold of it, right? Now, John talked about a lot of different things. But I want to ask you a question. I hope you understand when we did the water pouring ceremony up there on the rocks, that you understood what I was trying to say. If you didn't, I'll try to explain it again. We're talking about the beginning of the reign, the Rome, and the rule of the Messiah on this earth. Not someplace else, but on this earth. I said each one of you poured water upon, and it represented something. What did the water represent? You forgot already. Representative of the Spirit of God who pours down upon mankind. Remember, his mercy and his Spirit covers the whole ocean. He mentioned this yesterday. Jal mentioned this yesterday. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's put ourselves in a, quote, hypothetical situation, end of quote. We know what it says here in Isaiah. We don't need to turn to that right now, but if you haven't read it, maybe it would be good for you to read it. It says that during the realm of the 1,000-year reign, or that period of time when the Messiah reigns, and someone starts walking the wrong direction, what will happen to that person? All you will, all they will hear is a voice. What will the voice say? Turn neither to the left nor the right. Walk straight. Right? Is that what it says? Or somewhere in that vicinity of words. So, what I'm trying to bring about today is something that I want to bring into what the Messiah talked about. In an entirely different way. Because we should be are focusing, my personal, Richard Agee's personal opinion is, that during these days of Sukkot, we should be focusing our mind on exactly what is it that God has in mind for those he has called out of the world and brought into his son. And what are we supposed to learn today that we can actually be beneficial, quote, to the people in the future when we say, don't walk to the left, nor to the right, walk straight. Now, what does that mean? Oh, we got to find out, don't we? Wouldn't it be nice for you to now to know what it means by that way? Last word. I'm going to basically center in on just one subject matter today, but I want you to turn to Matthew, book of Matthew, verse 23. I mean, chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew. Is everybody hearing me? Okay. Now we're going to read this for just a moment. He said, Yahshua is saying, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe of the mint and the amize and the cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the Torah, which is judgment, mercy, faith. These things you should have done and not left the others undone. Now, another translation in that, but before we get there, you know, I don't know that Greek as much, and if I try to pronounce it, I think my friend Jeff is going to come on my case. So I'm just going to tell you The word for justice basically means, now it's a noun, it has to do with divine law. Here, we're talking the biblical here now. And it has to do with being, it either can be subjective or objective. It's either for or against you. Judgment can be for you or against you, or justice can be for you or against you. Now, we come down to a real simple thing about mercy. Most of us understand what mercy is, right? It's incredible kindness, goodwill toward people. Now, he says the Torah teaches goodwill. Right? Now, it's kind of hard to see that sometimes because we don't get the picture of goodwill. But Yahshua talked about, now that's another phrase, we'll read another verse of this from a different book. Then there's the last one called faith, or what is really in Greek, and you have heard Jeff say this many times, it really means trust or truth. What is true? And it's, but when, let me ask you a question, don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about these questions. When God began to call you toward his son, did he have to convince you of the truth? Or did you just say, oh, I know that? Now, some of us took a little bit longer to be convinced than others, right? I'm one of those that got a little bit longer, and there may be people a lot longer than me. However, then there's some people raised up from childhood up, and since they've been taught that, they got it, they say, oh, yeah, I know what the truth is. And they don't think about what is a lie. They can think of what the truth is. And they had to be persuaded. And by the way, as time goes by, you had to become persuaded of something else. And that is what I would call, we'll call it judgment for right now. I don't call, you have to be persuaded of what is just. Once you've got the truth, called into the Messiah, you've been baptized, you're part of it, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story doesn't end until you're dead. All right? And so we're growing in grace and knowledge. And it comes to a point that you have to be convinced of not only the truth, but also be convinced of his judgments. Because some of his judgments sometimes are very hard to be understood. As years go by, you understand it, you got the picture, you understand, okay, I know what that's all about now. Remember what the Messiah said. Judgment, mercy, and faith. So I'm concentrating on the very first one today. And then we come into this thing called faith. We talked about that already. So, I'm going to read another verse. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. Woe to you, hypocrites, Torah teachers. Pretty heavy stuff right there, isn't it? Torah teachers. Pershim, can't pronounce that word right. You pay of the tithe, of the mint, the dill, and the cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters, a little different wording, of the Torah, you Torah teachers. Justice, mercy, trust. He uses the word trust here. So it comes to a point of trusting God. You trust something about him. Now, when you are going to be called by God to be something of the near future, I don't know if it's near, to tell the honest truth, because I am not a predictor of time. Do you know what you're going to be teaching someone? You say, don't turn to the right, don't turn left, go straight. And the person's going to say, what are you talking? What does straightness mean? What is straightness to you? Do you know where to find straightness? The very first thing the Messiah talked about was what? And that, what I just read here. Justice. Or judgment. Now, what is judgment? What does it mean to you? Oh, he's going to curse me. Why would he bring forth a judgment for? Because something went awry, correct? And you had to be convinced by God Himself that you transgressed and you have to accept the judgment. Right? Justice has to be given. Now, there's something, remember, that Jeff talked about. Well, I can remember exactly. It was something like a flea bargaining. Now, the Messiah, God brought you His Son, and He said, this is the plea bargaining. I take my Son's life, and you live. Now, wow. Was justice brought upon you? Or was justice brought upon His Son? Brought upon His Son. That's pretty heavy stuff, right? So when you talk to someone, when the kingdom of God establishes, and someone wants to go left, go right, and just to go straight, first thing you need to explain to him is judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what the Messiah is talking about right here. Judgment, mercy, and trust. You understand what that means? We have a question over here. No.
He also says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that He is the gate. So it automatically fits in that, in what you're saying.
Correct. I'm talking about what we are going to be doing to the people, and we're going to say, a voice is going to hear from them, they're going to hear a voice, and they're going to ask some questions. Which way is straight? The very first thing, remember, you had to be convinced of something, didn't you? And you had to be convinced that I took the plea bargaining. Now, do you think that was an easy thing for you to accept, but didn't really understand it? Did you just look out for yourself and say, I don't want to die? Yeah, take him. You didn't say that. You said that that's not right. And God says, well, if you don't take my plea bargaining, I'm using Jeff's words here, roll the dice. See if you come up with 7-Eleven. You're as good as dead anyway. All right? Since you rejected my Son, I have to reject you. And the people need to know that. They need to understand that. Can you teach them that? Can you explain that to them? Not in your world today, in your life today, in this faceless earth of flesh and blood today, but in the future, on this, when you're going to be teaching people something about God. You're going to teach him about just who he is, and you're going to quote his Son. You're going to say, oh my, justice. Weightier man. The more important thing of all the Torah is not how many cows are getting killed. Not how many sheep are getting killed. Not how many clean animals they built or offered up in the smoke. Not even the tithe is that important. Weightier matter is what? Justice. Because that's what God is going to point us to. Through His Son, He has said that. Now, when you have accepted it, when the time you finally accepted the plea bargaining, then you saw mercy. Then you saw kindness. God became kind to you. All of a sudden, He seemed to be, in quote, involved in your life. He seemed to take more concern about you than someone who has not yet accepted it. Now, that may seem strange. Did you reject it? Oh, no, you began to ask for more mercy, don't you? Begin to ask for more. And so that person that you're talking to and whose voice is going to be behind them, you're going to tell them and lead them on to what's called mercy. And the mercy is, put in a blank shell, the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, had mercy upon you by taking his son's life. That's pretty heavy, don't you think? But yet it's true, isn't it? Well, now let's talk about judgment. Again. Go to Matthew 5. Just for brief things about judgment. Because sometimes we think of the great white throne judgment. Okay, that's fair. Don't mind that. But what about the time before that great white throne judgment? What are you going to talk to the person when you're the voice behind them and they begin to get the picture a little bit at a time? Because it takes a long time for any human being to get the picture, if I can use that terminology, of what is it that God has in mind. You are going to be, okay, he says, priesthood. Your job is to teach the people about God. Not about how to raise crop. Not about how to treat a dog. Not about how to jump off a cliff so you won't get hurt. It's about God. Right? Now it comes there, verse 21. All of you know this. And Yahshua said, you have heard that there was said to them of old time, you shall not kill. Whosoever killed shall be in danger of the judgment. What? When you murder somebody, what is the judgment? Death! Simple, right? That's a piece of cake. You got that, right? We understand that, just death. And he continues on, because he's talking to his apostles here. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother, and that phrase without a cause has been added, angry with his brother, I don't mean you're upset with him, maybe mad because he stole your chicken, angry at your brother to the point of hatred. Okay, because it leads on. Whoever says, you are angry against your brother, whoever says to your brother, you empty one, you vain one, what are they going to face? It says, call the council. Basically, in those days, it meant the Sanhedrin. Or in our modern terminology, you're going to face the court. Right? In the court of the kingdom of God, what are you going to face? Everything's going to be told exactly what you said, and your mind, your heart, your soul is going to be exposed. And your reason for being angry against your mother, your father, brother, will be exposed. And then something else will take place. Oh, but what if, but you just say something else. You know, you're still angry. You're still bitter. You're still resentful. Even though the council has already heard this all, and all will hold you, come up and you say, oh, you fool, to your brother. That's really a horrible translation. But it basically says you'd be in danger of the, quote, hellfire, or Gehenna, which means the final judgment. Basically talking about the final judgment. We got that all pictured, right? What judgment is all about? According to what we see here? Now let's go down to Matthew, the 12th chapter for a moment. Because how, if you don't know the judgments of God, which are written in the Torah, the judgments of God, which are written in the prophets, the judgments of God, which are written in the writings, how can you teach somebody what judgment is, which is a weightier, one of those one, two, three things. Weightier matters. I'll go back to why it's just three he mentioned in a little while. 12th chapter. Now, after he did a miracle healing somebody, the Pharisees went out and they were going to counsel and stone against him, verse 14. So they tried to figure out how to get rid of him. Of course, Yahshua just disappeared, verse 15. Now let's go down to verse 18. This is a very interesting statement. Now the word of God, a voice comes down from above. And it says something. Do you see? Ever pay attention to what it says? Sounds cool, doesn't it? Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved one, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. Nobody else's spirit. No other fourth party, fifth party, third party, second party, first thousand party. No, his. First, his spirit. Number one. Comes down and he says, I'll put my spirit upon him. Why? Why? What else does it say? So what? He will show judgment to a bunch of non-believers. Did you see that? He's going to show judgment to the non-believers, the goyim, the Gentiles. Now, that's an awful lot to show, isn't it? This is the reason why I'm saying judgment is very one of the most important things of the Torah, very most important thing the Messiah talked about. And if we can really understand, try our very best to say, when we have to talk to somebody and we have to tell them, don't turn left, don't turn right, go straight, we have to teach them and show them the judgments, the judgments, the judgments. And sometimes those judgments are for them and sometimes it is against them. But here, what's it going to happen? Did you realize it? What does it say? Is he going to kill them? We know that the Gentiles will glorify God. The non-believers, they're out there in that world next door to you. The ones you really have a hard time being around. So, they don't believe like I believe. They don't think like I think. They don't think like God thinks. I think like God thinks, but they don't think like God thinks. Is that what it says? Gentiles are the ones that really don't believe. Can you tolerate that? Messiah can. And the Father can. How is the Messiah going to show judgment to the Gentiles? You have an answer. How is he going to do that?
Mercy shall be ready first.
How is he going to do that? What did the Messiah say to his disciples? You will do greater works than I. Did you get that? Nobody could do greater than the Messiah. That's not what he said. The increase in volume, the increase of truth, the increase of judgment, the increase of mercy is going to come upon us in the kingdom of God. We are going to expand. That's what a priesthood is all about. It's not about killing people, slaughtering people with a rod of iron. Yeah, you rule, but rule, we get the wrong rule. It means you're going to be judge. You're going to make the one to make decisions. You're the one that's going to be handling the problems. And you're to show justice, mercy, and trust. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? Three important things. So when we are here, and we have this thing of looking at the world through our eyes and how we can overcome it. Verse 19. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the television, the movie, the internet, the broadcasting around the world. He's not even going to talk in the streets. He doesn't get on his soapbox and say, praise ye the Lord. He's not going to be there. If that is an example for us, take it and leave it. Very interesting phrase here, verse 20. The bruised reed he shall not break. What does that mean? It means that which is crushed, he will not crush it completely. And the next one. and the smoking flax he shall not quench. What does that mean? The one that is slowly being burnt, he will not stop it until something happens. Did you notice this verse? Till he sends forth judgment to victory. Then he's going to stop the fire. Then he's going to heal the bruised one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you ever notice that was written before? So these are very fascinating things. We have to learn from the Messiah, the Son of God, to find out exactly what he is talking. He said, this is the one I am well pleased with. I'm going to send my spirit upon him for judgment to the Gentiles. Fascinating phrase, isn't it not? Go ahead and think about it. And verse 21, what's the end results? They will trust. Because of the judgment, they will trust him. That's the message that must be in when we think about the thing of being a king. People like being king, but it's king of priesthood. And being a priesthood, what are you going to teach them? What are you going to show them? It's already written, is it not? So we could find out from God how we are going to do or be a great assistant, should we put that word, unto the Son of God to be able for these Gentiles to trust. How many, let me ask you a question, don't have to answer it, just to yourself. How many of you trust the leadership of this country? How many of you trust the leadership of Canada? How about Mexico? How about Sacramento? Or how about your own hometown? Do you understand what that means? A very powerful effect. When they come to trust, it's because you come to believe something. What was their job, the Messiah, was to do? Judgment to the Gentiles. And they come around and they say, I trust you. Isn't that a fantastic story? Isn't it bigger than just the little thing out here in the middle of the woods? And we are enjoying ourselves? Hoping God hears our prayers? Hoping God just forgives us? Hoping God has mercy upon us? What about us being part of, quote, the judgment, part of the mercy, part of the trust? Because that's what the kingdom of God on earth is all about. Or one of the main things. You can depend upon it. It's trustworthy. He's not out to destroy. He didn't send his most beloved son in order to kill everything that he created. He came to kill his son because he loved the world. He loved what he created. And he wants it back. Now the world has to accept judgment, mercy, and trust God. Trust God. Simple as that. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, there's an interesting statement. We have a kind of idea what it's all about. Well, let's just read some of it, okay? He says, verse 6, Revelation 14th chapter, verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having something in him. What does he have? Verse 7, what did he say? Fear Elohim, with a loud voice. Some of you people think I got a loud voice. Mine gonna sound like a little wimp somewhere in the midst of nothing. And it's gonna say something. Give glory to the creator of heaven and earth, basically. For the hour of What? Judgment. Weightier matters. Judgment. I'm not talking about mercy. I'm not talking about trust. I want to be heavy on this one about judgment because, see, when we try to teach somebody, this is the case here, God puts fear into them in order that they will hear. And when they hear, they're going to trust him. Because the truth will be finally revealed to all mankind. We always think of judgment, you know, here's a judgment going against Babylon. Judgment's going to go against Ephraim. Judgment's going to go against Judah. Judgment's going to go against the United States. Judgment's going to go against the world. Judgment this. We always think of the negative thing because that's how we are. But with God, most of that judgment has come upon his son. He is the one that takes away something for the entire world. All mankind. He took away, literally, the judgment. Can you convince that to somebody in a 1,000-year reign? Why do you think it's going to last 1,000 years? Because it's going to be a piece of cake and everybody's going to respond quickly? How quick did you respond? How many years did it take for you? You're going to be no different. They, rather, are going to be no different kind of human being than you are. Okay, yes, we know, quote, the devil and, quote, the demons are not there. That doesn't mean anything. It means like a piece of cake, your work will be easier. Maybe true. However, it's going to take a while. Can you endure? Well, that's what you're learning today, aren't you? In your own personal private life. You're enduring, waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. And sometimes we say, I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to go and do it. And when you do that, all of a sudden, it goes against you. When we look at the New Testament, this is basically where I'm at right now, okay? We see the word judgment comes across in a very, sometimes negative terminology, mostly negative terminology. Well, now we're going to have to take a look at that term in a different viewpoint. We need to go back to the beginning. Where's the beginning? And what does that say? Somebody did something. Who did what? Oh, who? Oh, God created. What did he do? Oh! Well, at least we got that right. And then he went home, took a break, and he hasn't come back since. Not what he said. Now pay attention to the second verse. The world's already covered tremendous amounts of water, and it says, Tohu vavohu vahoshek. It was darkness on the face of this earth. And then he said, let the light come upon the face of the earth. There already was a heaven and earth. Now that wasn't the first. He had to create the earth before he could say, let there be light. He had to create the water before he could say, let there be light. Okay, so be careful when you think about what it says first. Alright? He's done something. Correct. Now, let's go back. I'm off, you got me off a sudden bat here. First and foremost is the Torah, which is talking, what the Messiah said is judgment. The second most important is mercy. The third most important is trust. We got that picture, right? How many times have I said that? Several times. When we look at the Torah, it gives us the complete meaning of what judgment is. It gives us the complete meaning of what mercy is. It gives the complete meaning of what trust is. Now, put yourself in that ancient time for a moment, okay? Let's say you did something that was extremely bad. How did you get out of it? You went to prison? You go to jail and someone had a key? You put in a dungeon? How did you get out of it? The judgment's against you. How did you get out? We're talking earthly things for just a minute because God uses earthly things to help us to understand the heavenly thing. What is it you did in order?
Pay the fine.
Got to pay the fine. What did you pay?
$300.
You had to pay a sin offering. Something had to be killed because of you and because of your actions and because of your thoughts. What you did. And it wasn't just anyone you wanted to pick. You say, well, I don't like that pig. Take the pig's life. That don't work. You had to take a certain animal for the sin offering for it to cover. And the next thing, by the way, you had to give was called a shalom offering. You had to give a shalom. That's not the end of the story. Now you had to give a peace offering, an offering that you want peace with God. If God accepted that one, he accepts this one. But if that was phony, oh, you're in bad shape. Okay? It's better off if you never did that. So let's continue on here for a moment. All of you kind of know that in the Torah, right? You know about the offerings, you know about the goodwill offerings, the whole offerings. But that sin offering, every holiday, sin offering offered. Right? Judgment. What does judgment mean in Hebrew? Very close to what it says in Greek. Justice. From a judge. Judge is making a judgment. Judge now sentence this penalty upon you. And now, where do you go with that one? Well, we have to go and do certain things that God wants us to do. And we begin to get righteous, begin to come, not be right with God. You know, it says there in, I'm not there yet, but it says there about, and we'll get there in a minute, that come and let's reason together. Horrible translation in English. Come and let's make it right. Simplicity. Come and let's make it right. And we'll find out what that says of coming to make it right when we get there. Hope the good breeze is helping you out because it's getting warm, I know. I want to lightly hit on something of Abraham. Genesis 18th chapter. We all kind of know it. And verse 17. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a nation, a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. It's true. A righteous man, many things will come from him. For I know him. I know what he'll do. He'll command his children. And even the household after he is dead. And they shall keep the way of Yahweh. Or Yahuwah. To do. Some of your translations has that word justice. To do what is right. And have judgment. And that Yahuwah may bring upon Abraham that which he has said he has spoken. I'm going to hit a few highlights here. So when we understand this in our world and we accept it by God, we're going to have to teach that person. It's not just a one-shot deal with somebody. Just like it is with us. And John said, sometimes we forget. But yes, a great blessing we have ability to forget. Because we remember all the other stuff we shouldn't remember. So God has a repetition going over and over and over. And all of your life, every single Sabbath, you come back. Every single Sabbath, it's a routine. Come back, don't forget it. Don't forget, don't remember it. And come back, remember it. Come back. You keep that up because you know what happened if you just said, okay, I'll do it this month, this week. Maybe not when it's convenient, I'll go. After a while, you don't remember it anymore. It's removed from your mind. The same thing with God's holidays. Oh, I'll keep that one. Oh, no, 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 not that one. Oh, there, I got that one. So maybe two holy days. You might say, okay, that one's important to me. I think I'll keep that one. That one's really not that important. Oh, that one there's important. Okay, I got two of them. Ah, that's enough. Is that what it's all about? That's what you have to teach when you are the priesthood under the Messiah, to teach these people why we do it again and again and again, because God gave you a mind that can't remember things. And therefore, He gave you these days, these Sabbaths, to keep on reminding you, remembering you, reminding you to what He wants. So we are bombarded with, quote, the memory of the eternal creator of heaven and earth. Not of ourselves. Which is easy to do, right? Thou shalt not bend or turn aside the judgment of thy poor. Don't have to go there to find out. It's just one of those things in Exodus. That's one of the judgments. Thou shalt not make a breastplate. Thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it. Gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and linen. Judgment. Remember the high priest goes before God once a year. He's got this judgment thing. What do you think that pictures? All the tribes of Israel are marked there, and they're going before the what's called the mercy seat. Why would they have to come before the mercy seat year after year, year after year, or the high priest did, year after year, year after year, because commandment says that Aaron will wear the burden. He will carry the trials. He'll carry the guilt of the house of Israel on his heart when he enters into the Holy of Holies. Now, that's unfair. Well, of course it's unfair. What did the Messiah do? It's unfair. We should go in there and be killed. He shouldn't go in there and bear it all. He shouldn't have to carry it all down on his shoulders. He shouldn't have to carry it in his heart. He shouldn't have to do anything. Yeshua was innocent. But God says, okay, take your choice. My son's death or yours? Which one do you want? That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Remember King David? He wanted his life taken instead of the baby. And God says, no. I'm going to kill your baby. Baby's dead. Oh, unjust God. That's our immediate reaction. Well, that's also David's immediate reaction. But after it was over with, he accepted the judgment of God. He accepted it. He got up and he ate and drank. Made some food, drank some water, and continued on doing his job as king. Enough is enough, he says. There's another commandment which we have to teach the people in the kingdom of God on this earth. Just as much as you had to learn it. And when it doesn't seem to be right, because we have a tendency to think on human level. When we are on the priesthood level, we're going to be thinking on the level of a priesthood of God. With his son being our high priest. He talked about, you shall not do unrighteousness in judgment. We had to make a judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. You will do righteousness. Period. We have to find out what righteousness is, right? I want to go to... No, I'm going to go there. Excuse me, I have to scale through this. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. We're all familiar with that one, right? Isaiah chapter 1. I'm only going to hit a couple of verses here in this area because you've heard me talk about this before. I'm only going to talk about a few things here. The vision of Isaiah, although his name means Yahweh has saved. Basically, simple translation. Son of Amos, which means strong one. When he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of these four kings. And verse 2, it says, O heavens, and give earth, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up, and they have rebelled. We don't like that word rebel, do we? They revolted. They went against me. They went against my judgments. Verse 17, drop down to verse 17 real quick. Well, here's what God is saying. Learn to do well and do something. What are you supposed to do?
Seek judgment.
What kind of judgment are you supposed to seek? When you talk to somebody in the world, when you're part of the priesthood, and he says, don't go to the left, don't go to the right, go straight, what are you going to tell them? He's one of those judgments. Is it against them? Tell the people, do this. Release the oppressed. You think there'll be people in the kingdom of God on earth that will be oppressed? Yes. Just as much as now, because every human being has to know and understand if they are putting pressure or oppressing somebody else and they weren't aware of it. I know none of you have ever oppressed anybody because you never ever know what oppression is like because it never happened to you. Therefore, you would never oppress anybody and you never have. However, I have. Judge the fatherless. Now, yeah, no, my judgment of the fatherless is, hey, kid, grow up. Well, what? Not the way you do it. Judge means also to rule and do honor and do respect. Do what you're supposed to do. And plead for the widow. Go to Sacramento and have the Congress vote you in and you always seek welfare from somebody else. Go vote for the right guy and get them in there and you'll be able to get money and service from the government, right? But she needs help. What are you supposed to do?
Help.
Verse 18, come now and let us reason. This is a horrible terminology. And that shall say, come now and let us become right together. We use this phrase we use today, right? Let's be on the same page, same chapter, same verse, same time slot, whatever you want to say. And he says, I will, even though your sins are like scarlet and they are no good, worthless, I can make it right. Come and talk to me. I will make it right, and you will shine and be as white as snow. Now, in the kingdom of God on the earth, when people will go through their normal life, and they have a lot of things to learn, because you had a lot of things to learn, it's not going to be that they had it easy and you had it hard. They're going to learn the same hardship of life. They're going to learn the same hardship of things taking place. They're going to feel comfortable, however, they're going to know what is bad and what is good. How do you know what is bad and what is good? You had to experience it. That's what you had to do. So our job is a lot bigger than what we think. So what's the conclusion of judgment? What is the conclusion? By whom?
By God.
us. We'll be part of it. Book of Daniel says he's going to hand it over to the saints, and the saints will do judgment. They will do the judgment. Do you understand? We are, if we don't have this picture in our mind, we are in vain sitting here and listening to one another. There is a huge future in the world, a great promise in the world, a great beautiful picture, and this world pictures the time when the Messiah is going to be on this earth for 1,000 years, and we work with him, and we will judge as he wants us to judge. The Torah doesn't say the only one who's going to get a judge is the Son of God. You are the one that's going to be handed over the kingdom of God to. That's what it says in Daniel. Go back and read, I think it's the 7th chapter. Go back and read it. The book of Revelation is handed over to the saints. It's handed over to those. What they're going to do is they would, quote, judge, be there, rule with the, well, with the Messiah for 1,000 years. What are they supposed to do? Sit there and then say, okay, yes, what next? He says, this is my decision. Okay, thank you. What am I going to do with it? So you already will have it. Do you understand? You already will have it. You are here to increase the kingdom of God. You are here to be part of the massive family of God. You'll be here with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll be here with the prophets. You'll be here with the apostles. Did the apostles stop working because Jesus was dead and gone? Oh, amazing. How often did Jesus come back and talk to him every day? After the 40th day, gone. What do you think they had to do? They had to go to work. When we are there in the kingdom, we're going to be going to work for the eternal creator of heaven and earth, because the next thing that's going on, well, one of the next things coming up would be, oh, he's coming. Repent ye therefore, for the kingdom of God is coming. The Father is coming. The Father is coming down. The Father is going to live with you. The Father is going to be part of you, and you're going to be part of him. Isn't that the greatest story you possibly can tell somebody? So in that 1,000-year reign, they have to be reminded and told that and taught that. Do you think it's going to happen to them because God all of a sudden straightened their mind, or you had the ability to straighten their mind up, and they never had to go left or right ever again in their entire life? Now you have to talk with them, teach them, lead them, and have mercy upon them. They have to figure, they have to have build trust. Who are they going to build trust in? They're going to build trust in those that God has handed over the kingdom of God unto to do the job. Now, you could say, I don't trust anybody. Well, ask yourself a question. If you trust nobody, that means you are untrustworthy yourself. Nobody can depend upon you for anything under the sun or under the earth. You're worthless. How does trust come by? Actions, deed, repetition. Doing the same thing over, and you can depend upon that person doing that. Depend upon that person handling this part. Depend. And that's what we will be there as priesthood of the kingdom of God. They can depend upon what we're doing, and they will trust us. They have to trust us. Let me ask you another question. All of you got this Bible in your hand, right? Or around about you, or computer Bible. And we go to what's called the New Testament. Let me ask you a question. Why do you trust Mark that he's telling the truth? Why do you trust Matthew that he's telling the truth? Why do you trust John that he's telling the truth? Why do you trust this Gentile named Luke? Why do you trust them for? Because you believe they're telling you the truth. So can that not be upon you yourself? When the kingdom of God comes and hands in, they're going to hear what you have to say. They're going to look upon you as you have looked upon the apostles and the prophets, as Moses Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Or all this a joke? Of course it's not. You have to be a trustworthy person. And in your world now, God is training you to be trustworthy. Not to be a liar, not to deceive, not to add to His Word or take away from His Word. That's what we are learning. Is that not true? Maybe we have different opinions. We go here, go there. That's okay. We know that the judges of Elohim are the way we are to live. Isn't that not true? Oh, let's put it this way. People like certain words. We know that the Torah of Elohim is the way we should live. What does the Torah talk about? Number one is what? Number two? Number three? Trust. Three. What's the last one picturing? Trust. Is that not an awesome thing that we can give to somebody else? Is that not why we are here? To learn judgment, to learn mercy, and to learn trust? And that we could act upon and live upon judgment. We could act upon, live upon mercy. We could act and live upon trust. That's what we are to give to others. And that's a tremendous picture. It's a huge picture. The minor things was paying tithe. Lesser. And when you reread the Torah, it really is more about judgment and about mercy and about trust than anything else. If you haven't noticed before, take a good look at it. And the kingdom and dominion, this is in Book of Daniel, I'm not going to go back there, you can find it for yourself, for the fun of it, do some hunting. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. What did Jesus say? It is my good pleasure to give you something. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with it? He started out His entire, quote, gospel. Wasn't about, by the way, you know, if you did bad things, you should go and apologize for it, and you should, you know, pay a tithe, pay amount, and that's what you should do. What was His message? Repent. Why? Something about the thing called the kingdom of God. It's going to be handed over. If it's handed over, it's going to be handed over to somebody who is trustworthy, who is merciful, and is in just, knows how to do right justice, knows how to judge rightly. And the only way you got to find out is go to the Torah and find out what it is like to judge righteously. Any comments?
Yeah.
Book of Daniel.
Daniel 7.
Daniel 7th chapter, read the whole thing.
Richard, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 11. It says, would to God you would bear with me a little my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So God is jealous, and he's training us so that we can become chaste and pure, so that he may present his bride to his son.
Okay, I know that. What I'm talking about today is in the kingdom of God, there's a function that's going to take place first. And it's a huge, massive project. It's going to last a long time. A lot of things we must do in order that we can be connected, end quote, the bride of Christ, end quote. Right? You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand what people believe about the eighth day. This is not the eighth day I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom of God and what your functions will be. You, your functions. Not Apostle Paul's functions. Yours. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's important. Picture yourself that God is dealing with you to do something so great that it's hard for you to fathom. We dwell upon ourselves day in and day out, day in and day out. We concern whether it's hot today, cool tomorrow. Concern whether my leg is burning like it is right now. I wish it wasn't burning. No, no. I mean, what? We are home, you flesh and blood people. And we're going to worry about, okay, what are we going to eat? Hope we got good food there. Otherwise, I'm going to go upstairs and go outside and get some food. I need some food. That's what we dwell upon every day of our life. Here at the Feast of Tabernacles, I wanted to expound upon something a little bit different than God take good care of you. I want you to come in the frame of mind what these days are about, that you learn to take good care of where God is going to place you when he establishes through his son the kingdom of God. There's a lot of work to be done. And the prophets keep telling us how long it's going to take. You remember it takes 3 years for the nation of Egypt? And you'll say, huh? Come where? What are they supposed to learn? Oh, learn to be under a hot tent and sweat out this guy talking. Right? When you wish you would have a glass of water or a beer or a glass of wine or something else. Is that what they're going to come for? They're come because they're going to trust. The Gentiles going to trust.